Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. As-salatu was-salamu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd. We continue the readings in the book of As-Salah, reading from the chapter. The author, he has mentioned Bab al-Imama, the chapter of al-Imama and the rules and regulations of leading the prayer and likewise being led in the prayer. And we have seen that the author, he has began this chapter with several narrations with regards to the rulings and the manners and the etiquettes of al-Itimam and following the Imam and being led in the Salah. And we continue reading these narrations. The author, he says, Rahimahullahu ta'ala, وَنْ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ إِبْنِ يَزِيدِ الْخَطْمِي الْأَنصَارِي رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أَنَّهُ قَالْ حَدَّثْنِي الْبَرَاءُ وَهُوَ غَيْرُ كَذُوبُ قال كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا قال سمع الله لمن حمده لم يحن أحد منا ظهره حتى يقع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ساجدا ثم نقع سجودا بعده. The author, he mentioned, رحمه الله تعالى, the narration of Abdullah ibn Yazid al-Khatmi al-Ansari رضي الله عنه. And the people of knowledge, they differed about him, whether he was actually a companion or not, or from the Tabi'een. But Al-Imam Ad-Darqutni, Rahimahullahu Ta'ala, and other than him from the scholars of Hadith have mentioned that it is established that he was a companion and that he witnessed the pledge of allegiance of Ridwan, Bay'at Ridwan, radiyallahu anhu, while he was a child and he was very young. And Abdullah ibn Yazid al-Khatmi al-Ansari radiyallahu anhu, he was known for an abundance of worship and prayer. And likewise, he became the Amir and the commander, the Amir and the leader over Kufa in the time of Abdullah ibn Zubayr radiyallahu anhum jami'an. So he is narrating, he says, قَالَ حَدَّثَنِي الْبَرَاءَ وَهُوَ غَيْرُ كَذُوبٍ. Bara' he has narrated to me, and he's not a liar. And he's not a liar. This is another companion, Al-Bara' ibn Azib, Al-Awsi, Al-Ansari, radiyallahu anhu, him and his father, both of them, their companions of the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it's mentioned about him, Al-Bara' radiyallahu anhu, that he witnessed the battle of Uhud and the battles after that. And as for the battle of Badr, then he was too young to fight in that battle. But in the time of Uhud, he was allowed, and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam allowed him to fight. And he attended the battles with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his excursions and his events after that. And likewise, Al-Bara' ibn Azib radiyallahu anhuma, he is from those who fought the Khawarij along with Ali. After the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he moved to Al-Kufa. Likewise, radiyallahu anhu, and he died there in the year 72. So he says, radiyallahu anhu, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا قال سمع الله لمن حمده, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, whenever he was in the prayer, if he would say سمع الله لمن حمده لم يحني أحد منا ظهره, that not one of us would bend our backs, حتى يقع رسول الله sallallahu alayhi wasallam ساجدا, until the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would fall down in prostration, ثم نقع سجودا بعده, and then we will fall into prostration after him. So we see that this narration has a great benefit with regards to the clarification of how the ma'mum will follow the imam. And that is that the ma'mum, he will not begin to move into the next pillar or into the next position in the prayer until the imam first gets into that position. So therefore, one could ask the question, when will the person praying behind the imam move to the next position? And the answer will be after the imam moves to that position. So whenever the imam moves to the next position and he gets in that position, those who are praying behind him will follow in this manner. And the people of knowledge have mentioned a beautiful benefit, and this is in the clarification of Al-Bara radiyallahu anhu, that he is mentioning here the issue of going from standing to the sujood. And this is the longest movement, from one pillar to the next, to going from the position of standing to the sujood. So this is the longest movement from one position to another, and they would not move their backs until they seen that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has prostrated, until he has fallen in prostration. And another wording likewise in Bukhari and Muslim, he said, radiyallahu anhu, hatta yadha'a an-nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam jabhatahu 'ala al-ard, that not one of us would move our backs until the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had placed his forehead on the ground. Until the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam had placed his forehead on the ground. So he's saying here, لَمْ يَحْنِ أَحَدٌ مِنَّا ظَهْرَهُ, that not one of us would bend his back. And he would not move. He would remain standing. He would remain standing in that position. حَتَّى يَضَعَ نَبِي sallallahu alayhi wasallam جَبْهَتَهُ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ حَتَّى يَضَعَ النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم جبهته على الأرض, until the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم would put his forehead on the ground. So therefore, this is the issue here with the methodology of the companions, and whenever they would move and how they would follow the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in this issue here, from standing to sujood. So if that's the case in this long movement, then those movements that are lesser than that or shorter than that are more likely that they will not move. If they will not move from qiyam to sujood before the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam placed his head on the ground, then even more likely they will not move from qiyam to ruku' until the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would be in ruku'. And likewise, raising from sujood into the sitting position and going back down, they will not move until the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had moved. So therefore, this is from the eloquence and speech, and from the concise speech that he would mention in this manner, that we would not even move in this long position. So how about the positions that are lesser than that? Yani from standing to sujood. So how about the positions that take less time or are shorter to move into? Of course, they will not precede the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So therefore, the one praying behind the imam, when will he move into the next position? He will move into the next position whenever the imam moves and gets into that position. At this time, he will follow. So therefore, whenever the imam, he makes takbir and he goes to ruku', whenever he gets in ruku', they follow after him. They follow after him when he gets in that position. Whenever he raises up, then they raise up. Whenever he goes all the way to the ground into the prostration and he puts his head on the ground, at this time they will go down. At this time the people praying behind him will go down, and not before this. And this is the methodology of the Sahaba, and this is the way that is pleasing. Naam. So this is a beautiful benefit in the clarification of how to follow the imam. And again, that is that one will move into that position after the imam moves into that position. He will not precede the imam, and we have seen that is called musabaqah, and that's not permissible. And he will not have muwafaqah and perform and move at the exact same time as the imam likewise, and nor will he have al-mukhalafa with takhalluf, and he will not fall behind a great distance or a great length of time likewise. But rather, how will he move? In the previous classes we were talking about moving in a timely manner. This narration here clarifies what that means, to be in a timely manner. Meaning, the one praying behind the imam will move to the next position whenever the imam gets to that position. Just like we see here, clarified in this narration, not one of us would bend our backs until we see that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had placed his forehead on the ground in prostration. And then after that, we will fall into prostration. So this narration has many benefits, and from them is the clarification of how diligent the companions would be to comply to the commandments of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and follow his sunnah and follow his methodology and his way, salawatullahi wassalamuhu wa barakatuhu alayhi. And this is because it has proceeded from the hadith of Anas, Sahih Muslim, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam he forbade them. And he said, لَا تَسْبِقُونِي بِالرُّكُوعِ وَلَا بِالسُّجُودِ وَلَا بِالْقِيَامِ وَلَا بِالْإِنْصِرَافِ. Do not precede me in ruku', nor in sujood, nor in al-qiyam, and nor in making taslim. Do not precede me in these affairs. Do not precede me in bowing, nor in prostrating, nor in standing back up. And do not precede me in making the taslim and saying salam and leaving the prayer. So therefore, this narration here clarifies the diligence of the companions to comply to that they did not precede him. Rather, they would not move into that position until he had moved into that position, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And again, this is also clarifying the details of that general principle that has preceded in the hadith of Abi Hurayrah radiallahu anhu, and likewise in the narration of Aisha radiallahu anha, إِنَّمَا جُعِلَ الْإِمَامُ لِيُؤْتَمَّ بِهِ, that the imam, he was only made to be followed. So what does that mean? Here's the clarification and the understanding of the sahaba with regards to that. That they would not move into that position until the imam had moved into that position. And then they would follow him whenever he had reached that position in this manner. So therefore, this is the sunnah. And this is the proper way to follow the imam. And this is the proper way to follow the imam. After this, the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned the narration of Abi Hurairah radiyallahu anhu, and he says, an Abi Hurairah radiyallahu anhu anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qala, idha ammana al-imamu fa'aminu fa'innahu man wafaqa ta'minuhu ta'min al-malaika ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbihi. The author, he mentioned the narration of Abi Hurairah radiyallahu anhu, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِذَا أَمَّنَ الْإِمَامُ فَأَمِّنُوا. أَمَّنَ يُؤَمِّنُ أَمِّنْ تَأْمِينًا. أَمَّنَ أي قَالَ آمين. قَالَ آمين. So if the Imam says آمين, then you say آمين. فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ وَافَقَ تَأْمِينُهُ تَأْمِينَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ. Because verily, the one who his statement of Ameen is in accordance or correspondence with the statement of the Malaika saying Ameen, then that which has proceeded from his sins will be forgiven. Then that which has proceeded from his sins will be forgiven. So we see likewise another clarification with regards to al-ittimam wal-ittiba' in the prayer, and how the one praying behind the imam, he should follow. And this is with regards specifically to at-ta'min, and that is saying ameen, and that is to say ameen in the prayer. And the statement ameen, it has a meaning. And it means, Allahumma istajib, O Allah, answer our supplication, or respond to our call and supplication, answer our prayers. This is the meaning. And this is because the Fatiha, it has the greatest supplication. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim, guide us to the straight path. Sirat al-ladhina an'amta alayhim, the path of those whom you have bestowed your blessings and favors upon. Ghayri al-maghdubi alayhim wal ad-dallin, not the path of those who have earned your anger, nor of those who have went astray. So therefore, this is the greatest dua, supplication, and it is a supplication that is obligatory to say in every single prayer, to ask for guidance to the straight path, and also the mention of the clarification of that straight path. Therefore, it is legislated after this to say, Ameen, O Allah, accept our prayer. O Allah, respond to our supplication in this manner. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's encouraging this, and he is mentioning the great reward for the one who performs it properly. And the one who says Ameen, whenever the Malaika say Ameen, then their sins, their previous sins will be forgiven. But the Malaika, they say Ameen whenever the Imam says Ameen. So therefore, this is what is understood here. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like this, he says, إِذَا أَمَّنَا الْإِمَامُ فَأَمِّنُوا. And if the Imam, he says Ameen, then you say Ameen. Because verily, whoever's statement Ameen is in accordance with the angel's statement Ameen, then his previous sins will be forgiven. So we have been commanded to say it along with the Imam. And this is the time whenever the angels, they say it. And some of the people of knowledge have mentioned that this is not all of the angels, but rather there are specific angels that have been entrusted to this deed, and that they say Ameen along with those who are praying whenever they say Ameen. And some of the people of knowledge have mentioned that there are angels likewise who join the worshippers, who join the Muslims in prayer Alhamdulillah. And whenever they say Ameen, then they will likewise say Ameen in this manner. And they will be along with him. And this is from the pillars of Al-Iman. And the believers, they believe in angels. They believe in Malaika. And they believe in them in general. And they believe in them in detail. They believe in them in general, that they are a creation that Allah has created from light. And they do not disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they obey Allah and His commandments. And Allah has entrusted them to different actions and the likes like this. And they believe in that which has come in detail. And from that detail, here there are angels that say Ameen along with those who say Ameen during the Salat. So here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that whoever his Ameen is in accordance with the angels, then verily his sins will be forgiven for him. Then verily that which has proceeded from his sins will be forgiven. And it's known that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the only one who forgives for sins. He is the only one who forgives sins. وَمَا يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. And who forgives the sins except for Allah? Meaning nobody forgives the sins except for Allah. So the statement that that which has proceeded from his sins will be forgiven, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will forgive his sins and He will cover his faults and He will pardon him for his errors and mistakes and his actions of transgression. So we see here that the time to say Ameen is whenever the Imam says Ameen. In the previous narrations, we have seen that the Ma'moom, he will not move until the Imam moves. So whenever the Imam moves, then the Ma'moom will move. And we have seen that in the previous narration and likewise the narrations that have preceded before that in this chapter. But the people of knowledge have mentioned with regards to this statement here, Ameen, then the ruling is different. And that is because likewise it has also come in Bukhari and Muslim that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِذَا قَالَ الْإِمَامُ غَيْرُ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِينَ فَقُولُوا آمين. That if the Imam says, or whenever the Imam says, غَيْرُ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِينَ, then all of you say Ameen. Yani at this time. And in this narration here, it's mentioning that whenever the Imam says it, then you say it. So the people of knowledge, they mention the place for saying Ameen is after the statement, Walad-Dadeen. Walad-Dadeen. After this, this is whenever the Imam says Ameen, and likewise, those praying behind him likewise will say Ameen, and they will say it together. So in this particular issue here, the Ma'mumun will not wait for the Imam to finish saying Ameen and then say it, but rather they will say it together along with the Imam. They will say it together along with the Imam. Because the angels, they say it whenever the Imam says it. And whoever his Ameen is in accordance with the angels, then his sins will be forgiven. That which has proceeded from his sins will be forgiven. So therefore, this issue here is a different ruling with regards to Al-Itimam. And the people praying behind the Imam, they will say it along with the Imam at the same time. They will say it along with the Imam at the same time. So likewise, it has come also in Bukhari and Muslim that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, إِذَا قَالَ أَحَدُكُمْ آمِينَ وَقَالَتِ الْمَلَائِكَةُ فِي السَّمَاءِ آمِينَ فَوَافَقَتْ إِحْدَاهُمَا الْأُخْرَى غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ. That if one of you says Ameen, and then the angels in the heavens say Ameen, and this is in accordance with each other, and they are in accordance with each other, then your sins or his sins, that which has proceeded from his sins will be forgiven. So we see here likewise that the statement Ameen, this is following behind the recitation of Al-Fatiha. The recitation of Al-Fatiha, and therefore it would only be stated out loud in the prayers that are audible, and the prayers that are out loud. And it will be after the statement, غَيْرُ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِينَ, and then the Imam, he says Ameen. And likewise, the people praying behind him will say it together out loud along with him. They will say it together out loud along with him. So we see from this narration the legislation of the statement Ameen, and likewise its virtue, and that it is not a difficult statement. It is something that requires little effort, but at the same time, there is great reward and blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and forgiveness from Allah azza wa jalla, and the sins will be forgiven. But the people of knowledge, likewise, they clarify what is intended by the sins here. They are the minor sins and not the major sins. They are the minor sins and at the major sins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions, إِن تَجْتَنِبُوا كَبَائِرَ مَا تُنْهَوْنَ أَنْهُ نُكَفِّرْ عَنْكُمْ سَيِّئَاتِكُمْ, that if you stay away from and avoid the major sins that you have been prohibited from, then we will expiate your sins from you, your minor sins from you. So therefore, it's a condition to stay away from the major sins. And what is intended here are the minor sins and not the major sins. And the people of knowledge have mentioned that the major sins, they require tawbah. They require tawbah for a person to have remorse and regret and to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to have determination to never return to that sin, to have remorse and to have regret and to leave the sin entirely, and then to have strong determination to never return to that sin again. In this manner, a person can repent from the major sins. In this manner, a person, he can repent from the major sins. Likewise, from the benefits, the people of knowledge, they mention the issue of the statement Ameen being in accordance with the statement of the angels. And some of the people of knowledge mentioned what is intended here is at the same time, meaning at the same time. If they say it at the same time, if it's in accordance with the Ta'meen of the angels, then this is the reward, that which has proceeded from the sins will be forgiven. But other people of knowledge have mentioned that what is intended in being in accordance with the ta'meen of the angels, meaning with sincerity and with the presence of heart and mind and with hoping for the reward and feeling in dire need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to aid and to accept the actions. And it is known that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He does not accept a supplication from a heart that is heedless. And so therefore, some of the people of knowledge have mentioned that both of these affairs are intended and included. And from them, Al-Imam al-Sa'di, rahimahullahu ta'ala. So therefore, one will say that ta'meen at the same time, or strive to, meaning saying it along with the imam, and this is the time when the angels say it, but also one will strive to say it sincerely. And one will strive to say it properly and in a good manner, hoping for the reward and fearing the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jal, fearing that the prayer would not be accepted and rejected, and hoping and having trust and reliance upon Allah. Ameen. Ameen. Meaning saying it, hoping, oh Allah, answer. Oh Allah, accept my prayer. Oh Allah, accept my efforts. Oh Allah, do not reject my efforts. In this manner, Ameen. Allahumma istajib. Oh Allah, respond to our prayer. Oh Allah, respond to our prayer. So therefore, a believer, he will say, Ameen. Oh Allah, guide me. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Meaning, Ameen, Ameen, hoping that Allah will guide them. This requires for the heart to be moving, to be moving with love and hope, and also with fear, and the likes like this. And this is true worship. Yani, whenever the body is moving, and the tongue is moving, and likewise the heart is moving along with that, with love and with hope, and trust and reliance, and sincere faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and fear of Him. And fear of Him. And with that, we close. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.